Hello, and welcome to Maintain the Flame with Keith Collins, the podcast where we anticipate an experience with the Lord on each and every episode. Thank you so much for listening today, and my prayer is that you will be strengthened, encouraged, and challenged in your daily walk with the Lord as you listen. The primary purpose for this podcast is to be a source of inspirational truth that will awaken a deeper hunger within you for the fire of God to burn brighter and hotter in your life. Leviticus 6:12 says, "The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out." This Old Testament verse spoke into the sacrificial burnt offering system of the temple, and it also reflects the fact that we as the bride of Christ are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we have a responsibility to steward our walk with God and maintain His flame that He has ignited in our hearts. I am your host, Keith Collins, and I invite you to join me now as we explore biblical truths that will help us to maintain the flame of God upon the altar of our hearts. I'd like to welcome you to Maintain the Flame today. I'm Keith Collins, and it is always an honor to come to you week after week on this podcast. My prayer is that you are being encouraged, you're being challenged, and you're being motivated to maintain the flame of God upon the altar of your heart. That's really the purpose for this podcast. And again, it's just such an honor for me to be able to speak to multiple people each and every week. I don't consider this a light thing. And my prayer, again, is that it's helpful and that it's beneficial and encouraging to those that are listening. This week, I want to talk to you really from my heart again. Last week, I put up a message, or I sent a message to the podcast that had to do with grace and how that we have the divine assistance of God through a life of transparency. And it's actually with a message that I preached in Maryland, and just really felt led to use that last week. But this week, I wanted to kind of change gears a little bit, however, dealing with some of the same thoughts, because I think it is important right now for us to hear some of these things as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of noise right now, a lot of noise within the church, a lot of noise outside the church. We've had some challenges that we have incurred even over the last several weeks, regarding political situations, regarding another major scandal in the church, and one of the main leaders of the church, being exposed after his death, Ravi Zacharias. So there's been, quite a few things that people have been dealing with, and I've heard questions. I was recently in a meeting where an apologist was there speaking, actually in the same setting, same conference that I was speaking in, but I spoke on a Monday, and he spoke on a Tuesday, and pretty well-known guy. But, the questions were asked to him about the scandal that's taking place through Ravi Zacharias' ministry, post-mortem or after he died, this stuff coming to light. And other questions came up that really just kind of touched my heart and, caused me to really ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want us to do as people of God, number one? But number two, as a leader in the body of Christ, who the Bible clearly says that those that preach and teach the word will incur a stricter judgment than those that do not. So, I don't take this lightly, and I realize the weight of this. So I embrace even this podcast with a sense of sobriety, the same way I do when I preach in pulpits around America and really throughout the world. So I want you to hear my heart today. I think it is important, as people that love Jesus, people that believe that the Bible is the Word of God, people that are part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very important that we not neglect the foundations of our faith. So today, I want to spend some time here, a little while, sharing on what I want to simply call understanding and experiencing the love of God. Understanding and experiencing the love of God. Let me say that I am currently in the process of
writing another book, and I thought I'd be a little further along than I am, but just had a few things come up that have taken some of my time. But hopefully by fall of this year, we'll have this new book out. But I'm dealing with this subject of really maintaining a passion and a fire for God through a revelation of not our love for Him so much, but His love towards us, and how that has to be the revelation as well as the reservoir that we draw from as we fulfill the call of God upon our lives. And whatever that call is, that call might be doing something like I do, you know, preaching, teaching, writing, traveling, you know, overseeing a network of leaders and being a benefit and a blessing to those within our network, doing overseas ministry work, whatever that might be. But that calling for you could be something else. It could be working at a retail store, maybe being a parent or an educator, a plumber, you know, a lawyer, whatever it is. Every one of us have a mission and a mandate upon our life to do the work of an evangelist and to make disciples. So we're all called to be people that know Jesus and that make Him known. So we're people of prayer. We're people of worship. We could go on and on. So I think it's important for us to understand how much God really loves us. So I'm writing an entire book on this, and I'm dealing with the subjects of obedience, sacrifice, discipline, because all these things are not separated from the love of God or the heart of the Father, whatever you want to call this message. And, you know, we hear these themes now probably more than we did even 20, 30 years ago. And I think they are very important as long as they are taught within the wholeness of Scripture and we have clarity. But listen, it's interesting to me when I read Romans 5 and 8 that Paul says, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, this to me is an amazing revelation. It is a truth that brings a sense of, I guess I can use the word euphoria. And what I mean by that is it's amazing to me that Christ would love me simply because he loves me. In other words, there is nothing that he saw in the life of Keith Collins where he could say, man, Keith is a good guy. He's got a good heart. He's helping people. And, you know, and those things on certain levels might have been true. At the same time, you know, I was messing around with drugs and alcohol and, you know, living a pretty riotous life in the sense that, or raucous life in the sense that I was involved in promiscuity as a teenager, so forth and so on. So when I read the words of Paul that while I was still a sinner, while you were still a sinner, Christ loved me. That is not just a blessing, but that is foundational to everything that I hold dear, everything that I believe, everything that I preach. By that I mean I don't preach a message simply because I am scared that I'm going to go to hell if I'm not obedient to the call of God. I believe in hell. I believe we should teach hell, preach about hell. I believe there is a lot of scripture, a lot of teaching that deals with the reality of hell. But I want you to understand that it is not hell that motivates me to live a life of obedience. It is not the threat of eternal torture or even eternal separation from God that stimulates my faith, even though theologically, of course, I think about it. Of course, it's a part of my understanding. It's a part of my writing, my reading, my praying, my preaching, my teaching. Hell is a very real thing, and eternal separation from God is a very real thing. But again, I think it's important for us to understand that our foundation has to be upon the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, there's something that theologians came up with in the 17th century during what they called the Westminster Confession, and you can look that up if you're not familiar with that. I won't go into that here, but listen to what these theologians concluded as they were studying God and, you know, rationing things out and trying to come up with proper understandings of the Lord and the Word of God and who God is, here's what they said. They said, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You know, the first time I read that, I was like, wow, that's an interesting concept from a group of theologians that got together in order to somewhat, you know, put together like a canonization of theology and foundational faith themes, that they came up with this fact that the end of man, or the primary purpose of man, or the chief end of man, is what they say, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I personally love that statement, because really, my friend, whenever I look at my own life, I've been so blessed to do so many things for the Lord, and the Lord has opened amazing doors for me that have just literally taken me to dozens of nations around the world, and I've met so many dear people, even the persecuted church, and leaders that have literally, some even gave their lives for the Lord after I was in their presence, and some, you know, were persecuted for the faith. What an honor it's been for me to be able to do these things. But I have to tell you, I am enjoying the Lord, and my passion is that my life, every aspect of my life, would glorify God. I'm not preaching because I need something to do. I'm not in ministry because I woke up one day as a young man and said, you know what, I'm choosing a profession called ministry, and I'm going to do ministry because that's my profession. To me, ministry is not a profession. It's really more of a passion. I think Leonard Ravenhill mentioned that one time. It's more of a calling. It's something that owns me. I feel like where the Word of God says, where I think Paul said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. So to me, preaching the gospel is not my identity. However, it's my passion and my calling, but my identity is in the fact that I have been called to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect of my life, through my family, through my marriage, through my finances, through my ministry, through my worldly possessions, through everything that I am, everything that I have, everything that makes me who I am as a child of God. I long to glorify God with every part of my life, and I long to enjoy Him forever. Can I tell you that that I am having an amazing time in this world? Listen, I understand there are grave challenges. I understand that we are facing darkness. I understand that the church, even in America, might begin to experience some of the persecution that I've seen around the world, especially here in the next maybe couple, 3 years or so. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we're seeing signs of censorship and a lot of different things, and certain laws that are being, push at. Even today, there are things that are being done through the Equality Act and things of this nature that could greatly inhibit freedom of speech, freedom of religion, so forth and so on. But can I tell you, in the midst of that, I am enjoying the Lord, and I'll tell you why. Because His kingdom is greater than the kingdoms of this world. His kingdom, His power, His love, His grace, His mercy is much more powerful than who's in office in the White House, or in a governorship, or who's in the Senate or the House of Representatives, or who's my county commissioner or my county dog catcher. It doesn't matter. In other words, my life is not predicated upon what happens in this world. My life is predicated upon the fact that I am enjoying God, and I am desirous to glorify Him forever. You know, some of the people that I've been close to over the years, some of the people that even sat in my classes as students, and I taught for many years at a ministry school, and still doing that as much as I can. I'll be at a school down in Dothan, Alabama in a couple of weeks teaching for a few days on the book of Ephesians. So that's still a great passion of mine, and I go overseas and do this when I can. But listen to me, my students, some of them have lived in enclosed countries for years. Some, 10, 12, 15, 16 years. They've been in parts of the world where it is not legal just to put up a tent and preach the gospel, or to have even a public meeting. However, when I see their lives and I read their newsletters, and sometimes I even see them in a conference or something here back here in America, or even when I'm traveling to where they live, some of them, their lives are glorifying God And I see the joy of the Lord upon their lives as they are enjoying the Lord. So let me encourage you, embrace the foundations of your faith, my friend. Do not get bogged down. Do not get distracted. Listen, we all know what we believe, and you know, we pray for America. We realize that things could get worse than they are. We realize that we are living in what I believe are, I know we've been in the last days theologically since the New Testament. However, you know, there is darkness and there are things that have happened and that are happening that could cause us to strongly believe that you know, this is a season where things could get much darker, even here in the Western world, in America, and even, you know, whether it be North America or even Western Europe, that there's darkness that we are seeing. And again, there's darkness around the world, but we're feeling it at home some. Those of us that still believe in the canonization of Scripture, those of us that believe that the Word of God is infallible, that it does not change, those of us that still believe in things like pro-life issues, and we still believe in biblical traditional marriage, we still believe that perversion like homosexuality and transgender, these things are against the nature of God, they're against what God created us to be, we still believe these things, and we still feel like we have an obligation to teach the Word of God even in these areas. We believe we need to teach the first chapter of Romans. And so we believe that we have to be faithful in these areas. And listen, I am not sitting here saying that I don't think it could be challenging, but I am telling you this, my friend. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Now that's a powerful thought. And I don't just say that to say that. Of course, Paul the Apostle said that. But I want you to hear the heart of Paul. His heart was this. This world doesn't own my joy. This world does not dictate my passion. This world does not have my investment. My investment is in heaven. That's why Paul said, set your affection or your desires on things above, not on the things of this earth. Why? Because Paul was owned by the revelation that Jesus radically loved him. He wrote in Ephesians, and he talked about the love of Christ towards him. And he said it in different ways, but multiple times he refers to this deep revelation. And as we look at his life, even the persecution, the things that he went through, I mean, things that probably most, if not all of us that are listening to this podcast today, including myself, have never been through. He went through a lot, my friend, because of the gospel. He realized that if you're going to preach Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. We've had somewhat of an easy ride here in America. However, I believe that we are entering a phase where if you're going to preach the gospel, and I don't mean being a bigot, I mean spirited, we preach with brokenness, we preach with tears, but we also preach with backbone and the boldness of the Holy Spirit, and we refuse to compromise the truth because it's only the truth that sets people free. And if we're going to be like that and live like that, I promise you, the applause of the American culture cannot be the thing that satisfies or fulfills you. You must be fulfilled in the revelation that Jesus loved you while you were still a sinner, that while you were in your sin, it was at that place, at that point, that Jesus Christ died for you to set you free. And my friend, that revelation, that foundation alone is enough. Now, let me rephrase it. It is much more than enough. That's all we need. When that becomes real to you, when that becomes real to me, when that becomes real to the church, we will cease to live in this carnal state that oftentimes we find ourselves in, bickering about things that really don't matter, focused on things that distract our attention. We refuse to be drunk on the spirit of this world. It doesn't mean that we extract ourselves from the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. It doesn't mean that we're not involved on the political scene, on the education scene. I believe we should be. I believe more Christians need to run for office. I believe that we need to lift our voices, especially in a season like this. We should be contacting our congressmen, our senators on the local, state, and federal level, and letting them know how we believe, what we feel. But at the same time, we have to realize that the the political climate of America should never shift our faith. It should never take our joy. It should never cease to get us to cease to cause us not to praise Him, or it should never stop our praise and our adoration and our glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting when we look at the lives of the initial or the first apostles, those men that spread the gospel through that world at the time, and all of them, of course, were martyred except one, John, and they tried to kill him. And I've mentioned this before, and he lived and was boiled in oil, but he lived and then was given the revelation of Jesus Christ on the island of Patmos, which is where we get the book of Revelation. But those men, their lives glorified Jesus. And even though they went through incredible suffering, incredible persecution, this world and what it had to offer or didn't offer them, that was not the foundation of their joy. That was not the foundation of their peace. They were rightly established in the foundation of how much Jesus loved them. Now, let me say this. I've actually got several notes. I've not really gotten to many of them today. But I do want to say that I believe that there has been a great deficiency when it comes to the subject of Christology, or the preaching of Christ Jesus. And not just the preaching, but the living of Christ Jesus. In other words, it is very easy to believe in Jesus Christ. It's easy to believe in the historical man, Jewish man named Yeshua, or Jesus Christ of Nazareth. However, oftentimes there has been a great lack in presenting him through revelation, through preaching, through Logos and Rhema, through the written word and the revealed word. There has been a great deficiency in preaching Christ, teaching Christ effectively. As a result, there are many people that have learned to live in religion void of an overwhelming passion and love for Jesus Christ. When Jesus is rightly seen and preached in the midst of his church, my friend, everything in our lives begin to change. We taste of him. We see that he is good. We experience the fact there is no end to his love for us. We are overwhelmed by this incredible passion. Kind of reminds me of that verse in Song of Solomon 8:7. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. Friend, this is the type of love for Jesus that we are called to have. But it only comes when we preach Christ, teach Christ, live Christ effectively. And when that is done, something is opened up in the hearts of his people. We realize, and maybe I'll do another podcast on this, we realize that there is a great love that Jesus has for his own. Understand what I'm saying? He loves the world. Jesus loves every man, every woman, every child, every person from every tribe, tongue, race, color. He loves them all with a deep love. However, there is a different kind of love that Jesus has for his own. Whenever we become a child of God, my friend, there is something supernatural that happens. We are inducted into an amazing family. Listen to what John 13:1 says. It said it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Listen to this. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. What is John telling us here? There is a, I'm trying to think of the right word here, because it's not that we're elite or that we're better than anybody else. However, we are loved in a different way. It's kind of like, I love all children, you understand? Like you would love everyone's child. I love everybody's grandchildren, but my three daughters and my six grandchildren have a different level of love from me than I have for other children. And I want you to understand, as a child of God, he has a unique love for those that are born again of the Spirit of God, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, those that have been adopted into his family, that there's this spiritual dynamic that has taken place. And as a result, the heart of the Father is towards us in a very special and supernatural way. And when this reality, this foundation, consumes the heart of the people of God, then my friend, I promise you, it is much easier to live in compromise. Or I'm sorry, excuse me, it is much harder to live in compromise. I meant to say it is much easier to live in obedience and much harder to live in compromise. Why? Because we are overwhelmed with the sense of God's love for us. That we are his own, that he is our father. And we understand the word where it talks about, by the spirit of adoption, Paul says, we cry, Abba, Father. That tender, passionate, powerful, intimate way of communicating with our heavenly Father, that we know him as our Father, not just as our Creator. Of course, he's our Creator, and we have to understand it's the fear of God that even gives us the wisdom to even talk the way I'm talking right now and to even understand what I'm saying right now. However, when we rightly discern his love for us, when we realize how much he really loves us, in Psalms it talks about how that God has, I think one translation says, pity or compassion towards us because he knows that we are dust. In other words, there is this paternal nature that God has that is long-suffering, that is merciful. Yes, he's a God of holiness. Yes, he's a God that executes judgment on his enemies. Yes, he is angry with the wicked. I understand that. But my friend, when you are a child of God, there is a love that he has towards you that I don't have the human language to depict. This agape, this overwhelming love that the Father has for us. I'm reminded of a statement that I read many years ago. I actually first came across this in an A.W. Tozer book, but there was an old church father named Bernard of Clairvaux, and here's what he said: to have found God and still pursue him is the soul's paradox of love, scorned indeed by the too easily satisfied religionists, but justified through experience by the children of the burning heart. And basically what Clairvaux, I think, was saying is this: when you have a revelation of who Jesus really is, when God the Father becomes your daddy or your father, your dad, when that becomes real, my friend, there is something that begins to burn in your heart. And you don't just have a one-time experience with God. You don't just have, okay, you went to an altar and you shook a preacher's hand and you repeated a sinner's prayer. That might have happened, and maybe that's the way that you were actually brought into the kingdom of God after the word of God was preached. But whatever that, however that happened, I don't believe salvation is a formula. I believe it's an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to me, whatever happened in your life that brought you to that place of really being born again, something at that point should have begun to burn in your heart. And when you saw Jesus as he really is, then you realize to have found him and still pursue him is normal Christianity. Listen, I am in deep pursuit of greater places in the Lord Jesus. I don't mean greater places of ministry. I don't mean titles. I don't mean buildings or a bigger, you know, budget for our ministry. I'm talking about knowing him in an intimate way and a deeper revelation of how much that he loves me. Listen, I believe it's important to us as believers to understand that the love of God is not only God making over us, even though that's important, but God saving us from ourselves through the revelation of who he is and through the work of the cross so that we can enjoy making much of him forever. When that becomes real, friend, your life will not be consumed with self-pity. It will not be consumed with self-interest. It will not be consumed with self-promotion. Your life will be consumed with making Jesus known. You see, I believe that our true joy comes through almost an intoxicating level of intimacy with Jesus that leads us into the depths of his love, which consume us for his eternal interest. Friend, that is what it means to have a revelation of how much true biblical love affects the life of an individual, the true love of God. Psalm 86, 12 and 13 says, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. Why? For great is your love, I love this, toward me. Again, the Apostle Paul picks this theme up as well in Ephesians, Colossians, other places. The psalmist said, you have delivered me from the depths of the grave. You see, friend, what a redeemer we have. What a deliverer we serve. What a king and a master. What an amazing friend, father, elder brother. There's so many things, so many titles we could give him. But bottom line is, he's the lover of our souls. And when that becomes real, then we understand that true biblical love, and I'll close with this and then I'll pray. True biblical love aims at satisfying or fulfilling people in the glory of God. Any love that terminates on man and his self-interest is eventually destructive, my friend. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the amazing love that you have for us. I thank you, God, for your heart towards your own. Lord, we know that you love this entire world and you love every person on the face of this earth. But God, we know that there is something special between you and your children. And Lord, I pray that the listeners today would experience that special kind of love that you have for them. Father, I just pray against distraction. I pray against the disunity that I'm seeing in the body right now. Lord, as we cry for revival in the church and awakening in America, I know that unless the foundation of the revelation of your love for us is made real, and unless we preach you effectively, Jesus, and teach you effectively, and live loved as you love us, then Lord, we are weak, and we are emaciated, and we will fail. But Lord, through you, by you, and because of you, there is no enemy that can stop the truths of your kingdom from coming forth. Awaken our hearts today, God. Take us deeper in your love. And we praise you for who you are in our lives. And again, we thank you. We quote the words of the Apostle Paul again, Lord. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You died for us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. Amen and amen. Hey, I want to thank you for listening today. Can I ask you, if you have not done this at this point, if you could please go and give us a rating, a 5-star rating if you can, and subscribe to this podcast and then write a review. By doing that, it really does help us to get this message out that we bring week in and week out. It helps us to reach more people. And also, I want to ask you if you would to visit us at keith-collins.org. That is our ministry website. And, you know, we want to ask you just to simply pray. If you would like to help us in what we're doing here through this podcast and through the other things that we are doing in America and around the world, we would love to hear from you. We covet your prayers, first of all. But if you'd like to become an impact partner, then you can go there and you will find, by clicking the donate or the give button, how you can give one time or become a partner with us. Thank you so much for your consideration, and I look forward to being back with you next week with another message here on Maintain the Flame. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening to Maintain the Flame with Keith Collins. I want to ask you to please subscribe, rate, and write a review for this podcast on iTunes, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you hunger for a greater passion for the Lord that will not dim or subside, then please subscribe and listen weekly to episodes that will encourage you in your walk with God. To learn more about my ministry, please go to keith-collins.org or impactgf.org.
This podcast is part of the Christian Podcasters Association network. For more information about the Christian Podcasters Association, check out christianpodcastersassociation.com. That's christianpodcastersassociation.com. Thanks so much for listening.